Well, we'll ask and make your way to your seat so we can go ahead and get started. Is music playing somewhere?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Okay, I'm not hearing things, right? I'm like, oh, wait, am I hearing something? Okay. There we go. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 23. That's not funny, Jay.
It is to me.
Yeah, you're right. Well, last week we started, we've been on this summer of Psalms all summer long, but last week we started looking at Psalm 23, and we broke it up into two different sections, and so we're going to continue on the second half of Psalm 23 today. But before we do, let's read this together as we did last week. I think it's just an awesome way of reading this. We're going to read Psalm 23 starting in verse 1. We'll go through the end of the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be here together celebrating worship and just spending our time giving you glory today, Father. Lord, we ask you as we dive into the second half of Psalm 23 today that you would help us to understand exactly what David was proclaiming as he wrote these words. And that Psalm 23 is much more than just a funeral psalm, Father, that it is a proclamation of your goodness and your mercy on our lives, Father. Lord, open our eyes. Help us to see you and see what you are doing in our lives in every step, in every direction we go. Lord, I pray that, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would be with us, that you would convict us, that you would remove the hindrances and the stumbling blocks that keep us from being in your presence today, Father. Lord, we ask you that you guide us and direct us. I pray, Lord, that my words would not be my own, but they would truly be your words, Father, as you lead us and direct us in what we need and should be learning from Psalm 23, Father. Guide us and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, this psalm, we talked last week as we opened this up, the psalm is a proclamation. David is writing this psalm to proclaim to his heart exactly how good God is. He is speaking to him, and he's speaking to his men around him and to us in this verse, showing us exactly how good God is. You know, we talked about this, and I'm just going to do a real quick recap of last week. You know, it starts out with saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I asked you last week, is Jesus really your shepherd? Now, we can say that. We read this verse, but it means something totally different. Because we talked about what is a shepherd. A shepherd is someone who guides sheep. What are sheep? Sheep are not always the smartest animals in the barn. In fact, rarely are they the smartest animals in the barn. But they need to be guided. They need to be protected. They need to be shown. We also talked a little bit about when the shepherd calls and it's his voice calling, the sheep will turn and run towards it. Any other's voice cannot call the sheep, but the shepherd will. And so my question to you is, if you know the shepherd, you'll also know his voice. We talked also about he makes me lie down in green pastures and how that is such a difficult, interesting thing to say, but the Lord makes us lie down in green pastures. See, when you're following the Lord and you're following everything that he has for you, he will make you to lie down in green pastures. What does that mean? He makes you lie down in
comfortable places. Why? Because sometimes we need to stop. We need to take a deep breath. Not yawn. But we need to take a deep breath and just rest there for a moment. And then we talked a little bit about He restores my soul and He leads me beside still waters and He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And then we started to end with this: even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. David was being attacked at all sides. And David is saying, I can find perfect peace in the midst of these attacks because He is my shepherd. And then finally, we ended last week with, you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, that's funny because a rod and a staff is meant for a couple things. Number one, a staff is to control the sheep, to, you know, the shepherd's hook, if you will. You would grab a hold of the sheep and pull them out. The rod oftentimes was to give them a little extra correction when needed. But it was also meant to defend off the enemies that were coming towards them. So if a bear or a lion or something like that was coming to attack the sheep, a wolf, the shepherd could beat off the enemy with that staff. And so we have to understand that it is good to be comforted. It's good to be corrected. And I asked last week, are you correctable? And I would encourage you to think about that. Does the Lord, when you hear Him, is He able to correct you? Are you able to receive correction when needed? Because that's a very important part. But today we open up this whole new idea. We start here in verse 5 that says, You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Now, I want to talk about that just for a moment. I'm going to jump over here to where it says, perfect peace comes in the time of trouble. Now, when I say that, most of us think about times of trouble that we had in our life. If you think about it for any moment of time, we all have something that we have been dealing with in our life that we would say is an issue. Whether it's a health issue, whether it's a financial issue, whether it's just a relationship issue, there's all of these things. But David says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of the enemies. That is such a weird thing. Think about this for a moment. If you're in the presence of your enemies, are you worried about eating? Probably not. If you're being attacked, the soldiers who are going out in the presence of their enemies, in the middle of an army, in the middle of a battlefield, are they worried about sitting down at a table to eat dinner? No. If they're eating at all, it's very hastily. It's very, grab whatever you can grab, shove it in your mouth, and let's get going, because we got a battle to fight. So why would David sit here and say, you prepare a table for me in the presence of your enemies, in the presence of our enemies? David is trying to proclaim to himself and the people around him is that in the midst of trouble, there is a perfect peace that can come upon us. David is trying to get us to understand that in the midst of all of the trouble, in the midst of life, today there's a lot of hectic things that are going on in our world. But in the midst of all of that, you can find peace. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes I have met people who generally in the midst of just total chaos can come in and they can just clearly see things from the beginning to the end. And they're at peace. They're not hurried. They're not arguing. They're not worked up. They're not all, I'm going to go nuts. No, they're, and they can come in and they can solve things. Why? Because you know, the presence of the Lord in the midst of your trouble can give you perfect peace.
That's right.
Doesn't matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter what you face. In fact, David goes on and he paints this beautiful picture. He says, a table, what does a table suggest? A table doesn't suggest that you got a knapsack of lunch that you're carrying with you, right? A table means that there's going to be a bounty of food placed before you. Why? You need a table to place all the food that he's talking about. And so when David uses the word table, when he says, you prepare a table before me, what he's saying is, you prepare a full dinner. We're not talking about McDonald's or Chick-fil-A, the Lord's chicken, or anything else, Taco Bell. Or anything like that. I was going to go somewhere with the Taco Bell comment, but I'm not going to do that. But when you prepare a table, to the bathroom that was, I'm kidding. So when you prepare a table, what that means is that you prepare something, a bountiful of things. The Lord is going to prepare something. He's giving you grace in the midst. See, the Lord's grace for your trouble in the midst of your trouble isn't just a little secondary thing. It isn't just a byproduct. It isn't just something that is fleeting. No, the peace that the Lord gives you in the midst of this is a table full of goodness that's there for you. He wants you to be at perfect peace in the midst of all the troubles that you're facing today. The world around you may be in chaos. The world around you may be crushing and falling down. The walls might be falling down. But we, if we are Christians and we're following our shepherd, could take a deep breath and go, I can find peace in the midst of this. Why? Because your peace isn't a part of the circumstances. Your peace is in the shepherd of whom you follow. And so we have to remind ourselves of that. We have to remind ourselves that our circumstances doesn't create the peace inside of us. It's the shepherd in us that creates the peace inside of our circumstances. David goes on to say that he prepares. Do you know this word prepare means that there was foresight into this? The Lord didn't just hastily throw together a meal. No, he put thought into it. He thinks about you. He loves you. And he's there for you. It's not just like, I think oftentimes we view the Lord as someone who's just coming in and going, okay, I'm here to fix this and I'm gone. And some fleeting ghost or some fleeting thing that comes around. No, the Lord is with you always.
Right.
And he is preparing the good things in your life. Now, you may be in the midst of trouble, and you may have a hard time seeing it, but the Lord is preparing something good for you right now in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your darkness, in the midst of all your problems. All you have to do is say, Lord, thank you. Give me that peace. Let me relish in that table that may have relish on it. Let me have that table. I'm quick today, let me tell you. Finally, David uses the term before me. You prepare a table before me. What does that mean? That means a personal connection.
Yes, sir.
The Lord, you know, David understands. The Lord doesn't send someone to do his work. Do you understand that? The Lord doesn't send a servant to go prepare this table for David. What does he do? David says that he's preparing for him before him. He's with him. The Lord does this for you. The Lord is doing this work in your life. He's the one that brings you the goodness. He's the one that brings you the peace. He's the one that brings you the bounty. He's the one that brings you all of that. All you have to do is accept it. And he's not sending his lackeys, that would be us, to do the work. He's doing the work. He's the one. It's a personal connection. It's a beautiful picture that David paints. We live in a world today where evil and enemies are all around us, and we lose our mind in the midst of trouble. How many of you can say you lost your mind in the midst of trouble this week? I mean, come on, let's be truthful. Let's raise our hand. I'll raise them both, right? Because I'm there. But in the midst of our trouble, if we can keep our senses about who our shepherd is, then we can find peace in all of that today. We can find peace in the struggle. There's a connection with what David is writing here and what he wrote before. And see, I want you to understand, how do we have that? You know, sometimes by splitting up these psalms, we forget about what was written in the first half of the psalm compared to the second half of the psalm. But it's a connected thought. David didn't write this one week and then write it the rest of the next week. He wrote this in a connection together. And so he's saying, if the Lord is your shepherd, you can find peace. See, the reason why many Christians today don't have peace is because they really don't know the shepherd the way that they need to know him. And so they find themselves in chaos. They find themselves struggling with what's going on because they don't truly know who the shepherd is. If the Lord is your shepherd, then you shall not want. That means that you shall not need anything. That means that, I'm using the King James, that you shall not need anything. Down on the pulpit. No. But when David writes this, what he's saying is that you can have peace. You don't need to want anything. You don't have to have a need. You don't have to have all these things because the Lord is meeting your needs and he is there doing it for you in the midst of all of these trouble. It's a connected thought. So when the Lord is your shepherd, you can have peace. When the Lord is not your shepherd, you can't have peace. There's chaos that reigns. The old saying, no peace. Anyone know that? You know that? No peace. Yeah.
I'm forgetting it. Help me out.
Jesus, no peace.
No Jesus.
No peace.
Yeah, no peace, no, no, no Jesus, no peace, no Jesus, no peace, N-O, Jesus, N-O, peace, K-N-O-W, Jesus, K-N-O-W, peace, thank you. I was having a brain lapse there for a moment. See, anyone can be a follower of Jesus when things are good. Anyone can be a follower of Jesus when all things are going well, but put a few issues in their path, and all heck can break loose in someone's life. You can really find out exactly how much someone follows Christ by how they respond to an issue in their life. Do you understand that?
That's good.
When Jesus is your shepherd and you're allowing him to shepherd you, to guide you and direct you, in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of all of these things, you can find peace. But when we go chaotic and we go crazy and we do all the things that we shouldn't do, then we have to ask ourselves, how much are we relying on our own peace, or how much are we relying on Jesus as our shepherd? You can find peace in the midst of trouble that surrounds you today. If you're here today and you're in the midst of trouble and you're in the midst of issues that are all surrounding you and it seems like crazy, may I tell you that you serve the God. Serve the shepherd. Let the shepherd lead you. Let the Lord lead you. And you can find peace in the midst of all of that trouble. If you just allow him to be that, to be your shepherd. Scripture tells us that all things are possible through us. Nope. All things are possible through him.
That's right.
And so in the midst of your trouble, should we find ways to try to solve it? See, I have to remind, and when I say this, I don't mean to be, I'm speaking to myself, but in the midst of my own trouble, sometimes I got to pause and say, okay, instead of trying to solve the issue, I got to go to prayer. Instead of trying to go, okay, I think I can, I have this credit card I can put this on to, or I can do this, I can do that, I can go and pay for this, I can do all that. Instead of just stopping and going, Lord, I need you. You're my shepherd, guide me. Instead of trying to solve that, does that excuse us? No, it doesn't excuse us. We have a part to play in this, but it's being led by our shepherd to help us in the midst of our issues. Because what happens, the chaos that happens, comes from in here. We begin to doubt, we begin to question, we begin to try to figure things out, and before we know it, man, that's tiresome. Let's lean on the shepherd. Let him be our shepherd. And so when we find in the midst of trouble, when the enemies are all around us, we can sit down and have dinner and be at peace. He goes on to say, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I want to ask you this question for a moment. Now, we just talked about what it means to prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. But then David throws this in, you anoint my head with oil. Today, listen, if you want to come over to my house, I'll pull out the olive oil and I'll pour it all over your head. This is exactly, I mean, it sounds funny today, right? It sounds weird. If you walk into my house and I say, I want to pour this olive oil all over your head, you're probably going to look at me and go, I'll take a rain check, thanks. But in scriptural times, what that meant was that was a blessing. And I'm not talking about the blessing that Grace did, because she's 80 years old. I'm talking about it's a blessing, it's a way of blessing the people. It was a way of washing them, it's a way of anointing them with oil. And so when someone came to your house, you would either anoint their head or anoint their feet with oil, because that was a blessing that you are praying for them as you're anointing the oil on their head or their feet. But David even takes it, this even goes back even further. This was when David talks about anointing his head with oil. David was anointed as the king. You understand that? Someone came into David's house, picked him out, and said, I'm going to anoint you, and I'm going to bless you. This was God's way of anointing. The oil poured over either the head of the person, or sometimes they would even anoint the head of the sheep. Why? Because it was blessing the sheep with their, so because that sheep was being led to slaughter.
And so the idea here is that when David says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. What David is really saying is, the Lord has chosen me. And when I say me, I mean all of us. Think about this in your presence, in who you are. The Lord has anointed your head with oil, and the Lord has chosen you. That's when David says that, that's what he's saying. He's saying, the Lord has chosen me. If you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the Lord has anointed you with oil. And he wants you to walk in it. He wants you to understand that you are chosen. You're not just as happened. Listen, it's not just that you stumbled into church and you said some right prayer and so therefore somehow you luckily made it into heaven. No, that's not the way it happened. Jesus anointed his people with oil. We anoint when you come up and you ask for prayer. Sometimes we will have, I have in my pocket right here, I carry it with me, anointing oil. It happens to be jasmine. And so sometimes when you come out to pray, I'll say, can I pray for you and can I anoint your head with oil? Now, I don't take it and go. Usually what I do is I open up and there's a little roller ball at the top of it. And I will either put a little bit on my hands like this, and then I bless you by putting it in a shape of a cross in someone's head. Why? Because we are anointing the head with oil because you are chosen by Jesus. You're chosen by him. When David says, you anoint my head with oil, what he's saying is that I am chosen. David is reminding himself that I have God on my side, that God chose to be with me, that he wanted me. God wants to have a relationship with every single one of you. This isn't that he just randomly chooses who's going to be saved and who's not. I want to make sure you understand that. Theologically, we are not predestination people. And so, if you don't understand that and you have questions about that, come see myself or Pastor Chaz. In fact, go see Pastor Chaz. He can explain all that to you later. But the truth of the matter is that the Lord has chosen all of you already. He wants you to have a relationship with him. He wants you to be there. He's chosen. See, sometimes we go through life thinking, I'm not good enough for anything. Yes, you are. You're good enough that Jesus died on the cross for you.
That's right.
You are chosen. And David says that, you anoint my head with oil. This means I am chosen. We need to understand that you are chosen and you need to stop accepting anything less than what the king who chose you has for you. Do you understand that Jesus chose you for way more than what you would ever could ever imagine in your own mind? We fall so short of the glory of what God really wants to do in us. It's amazing. God wants to do some amazing things in our lives. And if we just allow him to be our shepherd, to correct us, to guide us, to follow him, and to understand that he chose us first. David is recalling the blessing of anointing that he had on his life. But he ends this with something that I want to ask you this question. He ends this verse with, my cup overflows. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking to myself, why would David talk about a cup overflowing? Well, first of all, you know, God is a God of abundance. He's not a God of lack.
That's right. That's right.
And so when God does anything, he gives it abundantly. Which means when he comes to fill up your cup, it would be really odd if he came over to my house and he said, can I have something to drink? I said, yeah. And I just kept pouring the whole pitcher of lemonade into your cup and it's just overflowing everywhere. He would look at me and go, are you having a seizure? No, I'm not. Sorry, Jeremy. But listen, it would look like this. You would just keep looking. You'd look at me like something strange is wrong with me. But the idea here is that God gives us more than what we could ever receive. He gives it abundantly. See, too many. Now, I want to be really careful when I say this. We are not prosperity gospel. That doesn't mean that everything in your life is going to be riches and you're going to have gold and you're going to have more than what you could stand for and all of these other things. Because if you did, all of you would probably, if I told you that, all of you would stand up and look at me and go, you know where I come from? And I would ask you the same, do you know where I come from? But the truth of the matter is God wants to provide everything that you need and he wants to abundantly give you. Now, there's a difference between giving you what you need and giving you what you want. And where we fail oftentimes is that we think that God should give us abundantly what we want instead of abundantly what we need. And there's a huge difference there.
That's right.
And we need to understand that. But may I ask you this one simple question? If today the Lord would return, or if today the Lord was going to come and fill up your cup, would your, based upon your faith today, how full would your cup be? Today, if the Lord was going to fill up your cup, how full would your cup be based upon your faith of your life today? Does your faith speak to a God who is abundant, or does your faith speak to a God who is of lack? Because see, our faith should be speaking that we serve a God who is abundantly, that our eyes and our mind are always on something that the Lord is going to provide, and we're going to have abundantly more than what we need. Not more than what we want, but more than what we need, and that God is going to lead us through all of these things. But we have to understand that in order to do that, we have to look at the cup overflowing. Would your cup overflow? One may ask, why does God give an abundance? There are many answers to that question. But God is a God who not only wants to get you by, but to have you live in the abundant love of His grace and His love. But there's another reason why God gives abundantly. God gives abundantly because, you know what, there's people in your life that need to receive the blessings, the overflow of blessings that God has given to you so that it can pour out on someone else.
That's right.
But until you allow God to fill your cup up where it's overflowing, you have nothing to give because your cup is only this full. You have to be so full of faith and so full of the Lord and how the shepherd is moving you that when you go up to someone, you can say, here, I got all I need. Let me give it to you. See, oftentimes we stop short of the overflowing abundance of the Lord because we think it's going to be too much work to give it out to someone else. Or we think, I have enough, that's all I need. No, you know what? When we get something from the Lord, we should say more, Lord. Why? Not because I want to take it and I want to hoard it and I want to keep it in my house and I want to stuff all those blessings in my house, right? No, because I want to give it out. I want the people around me to receive the blessings that the Lord has received me. If I've received a blessing, I want you to receive a blessing. If I've received something, I want to pour out to you. Why? Because when we pour it out, what are we doing? We are bringing those that don't know the Lord and don't know His blessings into the place where their cup can then be overflown. And when their cup is overflowing, then we too can see that overflowing abundance elsewhere. The church in Acts, you know, the church in Acts never had, always met the needs of the people. When you read the book of Acts and you read about after Jesus had ascended into heaven, you see the church begins to grow. The church begins to do all these things. And this abundant flow that came into the church, they met the needs of the people. They met the needs of the widows. They met the need of the orphans. They met the need of the people who were hungry. Why? Because they had abundantly, God had abundantly blessed them so that they could in turn abundantly bless other people too. We often talk and we think, what is the bare minimum that I can get by? Jay, I'm going to go there. What's the bare minimum of money I can give to the church because that's what I'm required to do? What's the bare minimum amount of effort that I can give to the situation? What's the bare minimum of relationship can I have with the people around me because that's all I can handle? That's all I want to give. You know what the Lord says? You should not only give the bare minimum, but then you should be abundantly given even more above that. Why? Because when you give more of that, and I'm not just talking about money, that money is part of this, but it's not the only thing. What I'm talking about is our faith, our experiences, our help, our discipleship, our working with people, our blessing with people, and being with them. Why? You continue giving because when you give, you're blessing other people. And when you bless other people, guess what? In turn, it blesses you.
That's right.
You're in a bad mood and the enemies are all around you. I said this one time to someone. They came to me and said, "Pastor, you just don't understand. My whole life seems to be in chaos right now, and everything's going crazy, and I don't know what to do." And you know what I told them? I said, "Go and give something away. Go down to the corner and pray for the people that are in the corner. Go to the grocery store and walk the grocery store and start praying for people and asking them if you could pray for them. If you have means, buy some groceries for someone." Why? They looked at me and said, "Why would I do that? You don't know. You don't want me praying for someone right now. I'd end up saying something I shouldn't say." Yeah, you do. Because the more you release of that abundant flow that Jesus is giving to you, that you can give to others, it'll come back upon you. You want to change a bad attitude? Be a blessing to someone.
Yep.
It's hard to be a blessing to someone when you're in a bad mood. It's hard to be in a bad mood when you're blessing someone. It really is. Dang, Jeremy, here, just take it. I'm tired of this. I don't want it. You make me so angry, but here, take it. Using that as an example. I'm beating up on Jeremy today because Pastor Chaz whined last time I beat up on him.
And it's not the first.
But the truth of the matter is that when we abundantly allow the Lord to overflow our cup, then we can abundantly give out to others. But what happens too oftentimes is exactly what I already previously said, is that when the Lord abundantly flows in our life, what do? Could have put it in the bank. Could have taken it back. It's mine. My precious. We keep it. It's mine. My precious. Don't take it away from me. It was a Lord of the Rings reference for those that didn't know. So, but the truth of the matter is when we keep a hold of these things, we are doing exactly opposite from what the Lord blessed you to do. And then also you're doing exactly what Satan wants you to do. Because if you keep the blessings that the Lord gave to you to yourself, you never forward the faith of God. You never see the shepherd move in the midst. So when the Lord blesses you with something and you in turn give it to someone else, guess what happens? The Lord is being furthered in the conversation with the people around you. I know exactly what some of you are thinking right now. Pastor, you haven't seen my bank account. There's no abundant there at all. In fact, there's a lack. I'm not talking about just money. It doesn't take money to be nice to someone. It doesn't take money to go help someone unload groceries into their house. It doesn't take money to call up and say, "Hey, can I help you? Do you have something that I can help you with?" It doesn't take money to go up to someone and say, "Can I pray for you?" We use money as this ultimate excuse. You think the Lord only abundantly flows in money? He doesn't. Absolutely not. The Lord abundantly flows in grace and love and blessings that are far above and beyond what any money could ever give to us. And so if we would learn to be good stewards in those things, and to freely give those things away, then you think the Lord is going to hold back other blessings from your life?
That's good. We need to do a health commercial.
Listen, the biggest problem here today is that we have a lot of people who are living within a tent stakes that were never intended to be a 10 by 10. And when I say that, the prayer of Jabez is a wonderful prayer. If you've never read it, find it, read it. But what happens is in that prayer, Jabez prays that his tent stakes could be lengthened, that it can be expanded. I love you all, and it's wonderful, but you know what? I don't want to stay this way. I want the Lord to continue to grow our tent stakes. I want the Lord to continue to expand us. I want the Lord to continue to move us, to continue to bring people in that can meet the blessings that other people need. I want to see our tent expand over and over and over again. But we get too comfortable. We get to a place where we're like, "I just kind of like being, it's all nice and comfy and cozy here." It's a lot. Listen, I understand. It can be comfy and cozy with the size that you are in your faith. But you know what? The Lord never intended for you to live in mediocrity. The Lord never intended for you to stay in the place that you're always staying. And that's the problem with people today. Is that we get so comfortable, we're okay with mediocrity. And we need to be challenged to go even further. So wherever you're at in your faith, and I mean, hopefully you understand, I'm talking about this personally, but this is also applies very appropriately, corporately too. But wherever you are in your faith, you should be at the place that says, I don't think my cup is overflowing enough. I want more. Thank you, Lord, for all of the blessings you have done. Thank you for everything that you have provided for me in my life. Thank you for the many. Listen, I could sit up here and I could preach for hours and hours and hours and days and days and days about the wonderful blessings that the Lord I have experienced in my life. But you know what? Those were all things that happened in the past. I want to see things that are happening in the future. I want my cup. My cup was overflowing. Hopefully it still is overflowing. And in the future, it will be overflowing. The Lord is a God of abundance. If we allow him to be. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy. And I'm not talking about my mother-in-law. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. My mother-in-law does follow me everywhere I go, though. That's funny. No, I'm kidding. I had to throw that. Sorry, Mom. I had to throw that in there, though. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now let's go to this first part here. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What does that mean? It's a byproduct of following the shepherd. Goodness and mercy. What is goodness and mercy? Goodness is good things that happen to us, right? Mercy is what we don't deserve, but we receive. That's grace, actually. But mercy is the release. When I was a young man, many moons ago, I had a real issue. I want to be honest. I'm going to pull out my psychiatrist couch and I'm going to put my feet up. I'm going to speak to you here for a moment. I had this battle that to some degree I still fight a little bit today. But whenever something good happened to me, I was waiting for the other bad shoe to drop. Something good would happen, I'd be like, that's great, but I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I would, instead of relishing in the goodness of the things that were going on, I was waiting for the bad thing to happen. And I kept there, and I had this problem. I kept thinking about this, and I kept dealing with this, and I had a hard time enjoying and celebrating in the good things that were happening. I would say statements like, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, or what's around the corner, or it's all of these, you know, yeah, I have something good that's going on right now, but it won't be long before something bad happens. And I remember I was in the middle of my prayer one night. It was back when waterbeds were a thing. You know. I was praying on the side of my waterbed going like this. Sorry. My wife and I were talking about having water beds, and it was like, those were some of the greatest things ever. But right. Never mind. Anyway. All right. I didn't think I was worthy of the good things that was happening to me. I was waiting for the bad things to happen. I was so focused on the bad things that I couldn't focus on the good things that were going on. And I remember praying one night as I'm sitting there and I'm praying and I'm asking the Lord, help me. And you know what he brought to my attention? Psalm 23. As I started to read this, I'm like, why does this any of this matter? Lord, what? I get it. I get that you're my shepherd. I understand all of this. This is my young 18, 19, 20-year-old self, and I'm saying this, having this conversation. Lord, I get that. I understand all of these things. I understand that you're my shepherd. I understand all those things, but why are you having me read this in the midst of all of this? I don't want to be focused on all the bad things. I want to be focused on the good things. And he said to me, when you are following me, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. That means that in the midst of what we think the other shoe dropping or the bad things happening, guess what? We can still experience God's mercy and goodness in the midst of those troubles.
Do you really believe that goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of life? That's exactly what I believe that the Lord was asking me that day. I said, no, God, I do not. I said, I have a hard time remembering the goodness and the mercy and all of these things because I'm afraid of the bad things that are going to happen. And then I remembered just how good and merciful Jesus has been for me. And I begin to understand that the Lord's mercy on my life isn't because of anything I do. The goodness that I have from the Lord in my life isn't because of anything I do. It's because of who He is. It's a byproduct of a relationship with Him that happens in my life. And so what I have to do, I don't have to worry about the goodness and mercy coming in my life. What I have to worry about is following Him. So the more I'm following Him, the closer I'm directed to Him, the goodness and mercy that He promises will follow me as long as I'm following Him. As long as I'm looking towards Him, as long as I'm following Him, as long as I'm doing what He asked me to do, and I'm allowing Him to be my shepherd, and I'm allowing to be correctable by His rod and His staff, as I'm allowing to do the things that He's called me to do, goodness and mercy will follow me because it's not something I produce, it's something that He produces, and I get to receive it as a byproduct of the relationship with Him. Oftentimes we look at goodness and mercy and we begin to ask ourselves, how do I make something good? How do I make this bad situation good? Well, you don't. I learned this lesson many years ago, many years ago. Unfortunately, when I was doing a funeral. And I was in the midst of the funeral and the person I was doing the funeral for was not a Christian. And you know, those are, as a pastor, it's one of the hardest things to do. And I began to ask the Lord, Lord, how can I help? How can I make this a merciful situation? How can I, not that you ever make a funeral good, because you can't. But I began to ask the Lord this, and He said, you can't. And He said, but I can. And He told me, He said, what I want you to do is I want you to focus on Me and I want you to share your relationship and I want to share with those that are around you how you can be assured of the relationship that you have. And when you have a relationship with Jesus, nothing else matters. And so what I did was during that funeral, I gave what I thought was one of the best altar calls I ever gave. And I said, I can't sugarcoat anything for you today. All I can say is that we don't know the relationship that this person had with the Lord, but there's only one way that you can be sure. There's only one way that you can be assured of where you're going. You can be assured of what you're doing, and that is to have the shepherd as your king. It isn't your job, my friends, to make all things right. It isn't your job to leave goodness and mercy everywhere. It's your job to follow Jesus. It's your job to have your eyes fixed upon Him. And the byproduct, the what will happen afterwards, is the goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. What David is saying, David didn't say that goodness and mercy will be everything that he does. He didn't say everything that he was going to face was going to be good. You understand that? David is saying it will follow. Surely goodness and mercy shall what?
Follow
me. That means David was in front. That means David was leading. David was up front doing all of these things, he was facing murder from Samuel. He was facing leading hundreds of men coming after him, wanting to kill him and do all of these things. David facing all, that's not good. But what happens is behind him, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It's not our job to make things right. It isn't your job to leave goodness and mercy everywhere. It's your job to follow Jesus. When you follow Him, then you will leave a trail of goodness and mercy because that is who God is. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of goodness.
And if you're following him, what's going to happen behind you is all of that. That doesn't mean or excuse you from the trouble or the issues that you're facing today. The rest of Psalm 23 gave us the words of what we need to do with that. What David is talking about this is he's talking about what he's leaving behind. Doesn't take away the troubles. It doesn't take away from the issues. What it means is that you are going to succeed. David already talked about it. In the midst of trouble, in the midst of all these problems, what's going to happen? He's going to set you down in the midst of your problems and serve you dinner. He's going to do all the things. You're going to be blessed already. And because the Lord has blessed you, because your cup is overflowing. What happens when a cup overflows? I was at lunch a few months ago, and I was having lunch with a friend, and the waitress came over. She was pouring coffee, and she wasn't paying attention. And what does she do? Just exactly like I said, she overflowed his cup. And the coffee overflowed the cup, went onto the little saucer cup, and then it also went onto the table. And the table had this brown table cover on it, paper. And as I got up, as we left, as we're walking down the path, I was walking in the section where the lady was, and I noticed every table that had been served had a spot in the table around the cup. And I looked at my friend and I said, she must have been serving every one of those tables. The truth of the matter is when we are following Jesus, people are going to say, he must be following Jesus because his cup is overflowing and I can see the impact and the effect behind me everywhere I go. And as I walk down this path, it'll all be there. We have to be those. And then the last thing that David says, I'm going to end with this. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. When things are good? Oh, David, no, not when things are good. Shall I dwell in the house when things are bad? Nah, not when things are bad. When I feel like it? Nah. What does David say? I will dwell in the house forever. Not just when things are good. Not just when things are bad. Not just when things... Listen, we gotta break this habit. And the habit is we come to church when things are good or we come to church when things are bad. We need to break that habit. We need to come to church because we serve a God who's our shepherd and not because we're looking for something to be corrected or looking to relish in the good things. We come to the Lord because he needs us. He wants us to be there. And he wants us to dwell in the house forever. The problem with us today is that we dwell in the house of the Lord when we feel like it or when we want to. I'm going to step on some toes. Do we dwell in the house of the Lord? Do we dwell in the house of the Lord when things are more important? How important is your faith? How important is your faith to you that when you say, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, that means everything else. Why is it that we put our faith and our relationship with Jesus secondary to everything else? There's something good going on. There's a good TV show. There's a good NASCAR race going on. He doesn't watch NASCAR anymore, so that's okay. Oh. But here's the truth. We will serve the Lord, and we can say we will dwell in the house of the Lord when it fits our needs. When our schedule is clear, when everything else is going on, that's when I'm going to dwell in the house. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord the situation and the stars align and I can get to church. Can I tell you that's the worst time to come to church? Come to church and you serve God because he is the one who's worthy to be called, and you make it more important than everything else. If the Lord is truly your shepherd, then guess what? You're going to allow him to lead you. Not when you think it's good. Not when you think it's okay. You're going to allow him to lead you all the time. Every moment, every hour, every second. We have a lot of Christians today who are allowing the Lord to dwell in the house of the Lord when nothing else is important. Where are the Christians that are saying, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, no matter what's going on, no matter what it looks like, no matter what's happening in my life, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord. That's what we need. That's when you know the Lord is your shepherd. Because otherwise, the Lord is a visitor. David wants to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. He wants, and he's making this point, goodness and mercy shall follow him every single day of his life, but he's going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen, we need some dwelling Christians instead of visiting Christians. We need some Christians who are going to say, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now listen, if you're convicted because I'm talking about church, you think I'm talking about church, and you mean, yeah, great, I am. But not really, I'm also talking about your faith. Why has our faith, I am talking about church, by the way, I am talking about our faith, I'm talking about all of the things, because if you dwell in the house of the Lord forever, guess what? You want to be where the Lord is. And so you'll dwell there. You'll go wherever. You'll go to the outer ends of the earth to find the Lord, if that's what you're really following. I don't care where I go. I'm going to go because I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to make his home my home. I'm going to follow him every day of my life with every decision and action being in him. I want us all to have that. Listen, I want to have that kind of faith. I want to have the kind of faith that says, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That it's not going to be a secondary thought. It's not going to be, oh, guess what? I'm not feeling so good, so I better call someone and ask them to pray for me. Or maybe it's something else. Where are those that are willing to dwell in the house of the Lord forever and they make him the most important thing? He wants to lead you into green pastures. He wants to lead you beside still waters. He wants to correct you and become your shepherd. But it all comes down to letting us choose whether we want him to be our shepherd or not. So do you? Is the Lord your shepherd? Will you allow all of these things? Will you stand with me, please? Do you know that whatever you're going through today, the Lord has chosen you? No matter where you're at today, the Lord has chosen you, and he has anointed your head with oil, and he wants to be your shepherd, but you have to give him that opportunity. You have to allow him to be your shepherd, your guide. You too today can understand that you're able to overcome, not only just overcome, but have a dinner in the presence of your enemies. Because you can find peace in the midst of trouble. You can do all of those things because the Lord is your shepherd and he's the one. And by the way, you can have goodness and mercy everywhere you go. It's said in Scripture that even the shadow that Jesus cast healed people. Can you imagine that? The impact that we can have Christians if we just dwell in the house of the Lord forever and followed our shepherd. That's who he wants in our lives. That's who he wants us to be. The Lord, it will bless you the rest of the days of your life and beyond, because he is a shepherd worth following. Will you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We glorify you, we honor you, we praise you. Father, I pray that you just help us to understand that you are our shepherd in good times and in bad. That you never leave our side. That we are meant to dwell in your house. That we are meant to dwell in you forever. Not just visit when we want to or pick up our Bible when we need to, but always dwelling in the house of the Lord forever, allowing you to make a difference in our lives. So Lord, I pray today that if there's someone here, either watching at home online or in this place right now, that has never asked you to be their shepherd, may today be that day. May we seek you, Lord, and say, Lord, I want you to be my shepherd. I want you to be my king. Come into my life today. Help me, Lord, follow you. and let me see the goodness and mercy and the cup overflowing abundance that you give to me. And all of these things shall follow me all the days of my life, because I choose every single day to wake up and say, I want to dwell in your house today, Lord. If you're here today and you've never said those words, you never asked the Lord to be your shepherd, it's as simple as what Romans 10 verse 9 says, that if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and I believe in my heart that he died on the cross for us, that you can have everlasting eternal life and that you will be saved. It's looking up to Jesus and saying, be my shepherd. Guide me, direct me, lead me today. I pray that if you are here today and you've said those words, that you'll give us an opportunity to come forward, that you'll come forward, that we invite you to come forward, to spend some time in prayer with us and allow us to pray with you, to even anoint your head with oil if you want it. But Lord, we ask you, guide us and direct us. Lord, help us as those have already accepted you to walk in your ways, to say, you are my shepherd, I shall not want, to be correctable, to be guided, to have cup overflowing abundance that comes from you, and to know that wherever I go, because I'm following you, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Lord, be with us. Guide us this day. Walk with us. Help us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's sing this song together.
Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am breathing, I will sing of the goodness of God. In the fire, in the darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am breathing, in your eyes I see of the goodness. Running after me.
Goodness and mercy. Lord, you have been so faithful to us. All my life, you have been able. Understand that today the Lord wants you to grasp a hold of that and run with it. To let goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. The Lord does not leave you alone in the midst of your trouble. The Lord does not leave you alone in the midst of what you're going through. He is good, and his mercy is great. Follow him. It's not too late. We'd love to continue praying as we begin to wrap up, but if you have any prayer requests, don't hesitate. Listen. Come forward. Let us pray for you. Otherwise, be blessed. I'm going to pray here in a moment, but be blessed and know that God and his goodness shall follow you all the days of your life. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We ask you that you just walk with us, guide us and strengthen us. Help us to know that you are with us as our shepherd, that you guide us and you direct us in all things, Father. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise, Lord. May our cups overflow, and may we see the goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life, because we will dwell in your house forever. Help us to do that today, Father, and this week, as we yearn to be your hands and feet, to share the love that you have for those around us. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. Hope to see you again next week. Thank you.